The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, I think we are joined by Daniel Hussey, sports journalist. Hey, Daniel, grab a seat there. Thanks for coming out to us. We are, of course, in the Grand Hotel in Malahide, the beautiful Grand Hotel in Malahide, as part of News Talk summer tour. Dan, thanks for coming out to us. The GAA Championship, let's start with this weekend coming, because there is some mouth-watering ties in prospect, isn't there?
It's an unbelievable quarter-final weekend. I mean, round three weekend delivered big time. We obviously had the Dublin versus Donegal, I would say, classic, and as a Dubs fan, one of my favourite ever victories.
Really? Would you go that far?
Which is amazing.
After all the millions of All-Irelands, you're a greedy lot in Dublin.
I know.
No, but is it not because Dublin has been a bit dicey, and when that happens, the win is all the sweeter?
Yeah, I think that's true.
Exactly that, and it's just... Like, even I'd have it ahead of some of the All-Ireland wins. Like, 2018 was great, but it was almost like a walk in the park against Tyrone in the final. And it was like, okay, we've won four in a row. Kerry, we got ourselves back up for the five in a row in 2019. And obviously we had the last dance in 2023. But we haven't really had anything since then. And I guess with this team, we just weren't expecting that level of performance against that Donegal side, who had ambitions to win the All-Ireland. So in that case, yeah, 100%. But to be in Croke Park and the atmosphere... The late controversial free, but what led subsequently from that was just passions both end and supporters.
What was your call on the free? Harsh?
So I think by rule, referee's probably correct. And I'd normally, when that's the case, it's a slam dunk. But the spirit of the rule was brought in to stop time wasting, and it just wasn't a time waste offence in that regard. But
okay, let's look ahead to the fixtures, because Dublin are up against it, aren't they?
Big time. I think Conor Callaghan's injury is going to decide this game. I think he was clutching his hamstring as he was walking off.
Yeah.
7-day turnaround, which is when you go down this route. Unfortunately, Galway have the 2-week break, and they've earned that. So, yeah, I think that might just decide it. But if Conor does play, or at least get him on the pitch, Dublin do have a chance against a really good Galway side, I would say.
Now, am I right in saying on the Sunday, joining them on the Sunday is Loud Monaghan?
Loud Monaghan, and I think both supporters are going to bring a huge...
Well, I'm a Loud man, so so we're quietly hopeful. I think Monaghan are probably slight favourites.
I just about have Monaghan slight favourites, but they've been on the road 3 weeks in a row. Loud have that 2-week break, so that gives you guys a bit of a chance.
Difference.
But it's heading towards a sellout on Sunday, which is amazing. I mean, we'll get into the structure of the season, but... You can't really argue when 70,000 to 80,000 people will be there on Sunday, you know.
Is the Monaghan goalkeeper the best Gaelic footballer in the country at the moment?
Is he the best goalkeeper? He might not even be the best goalkeeper. Yeah, he's unbelievable. Like, I think
he's the best Gaelic footballer.
Ahead of David Clifford?
Okay, maybe not ahead.
I was trying to set you up there.
He's right up there, though, isn't he?
He's unbelievable. Now, joking aside, Shane, he is the real deal. I mean, he's stroking the ball over from the 65 and everyone just claps it as if it's normal, like the 2-pointer.
Like, he hits it like a golfer off the tee. Yeah. It's just incredible. Let's talk Saturday, Cork versus Mayo, Tyrone versus Kerry. How are you calling that?
Yeah, with Mayo, you just don't know. Like, they were getting absolutely destroyed in that first half. Turned it around. Obviously, the red card led a little bit to that. But when Mayo get on a roll and have momentum, there's no side like it still in Gaelic football, even after all these years. And then Cork have obviously got that sensational win away to Donegal. They'll
and,
be looking
and a really informed forward as well.
Exactly. And they have the 2-point shooters, Cork, which in Croke Park could be a factor, because not as many 2-pointers happen in Croke Park versus other provincial grounds are a little bit tighter. So, and then obviously into the second game, you got Tyrone, Kerry. Like, Kerry are the best team in the country by a mile. I think if they're ever going to get caught this season, it is this week, just because, as I said, being on the road 3 weeks in a row, but they were just on a different level to Armagh.
So how are you calling them then? How are you calling the matches? Kerry?
I think Kerry will do it. I think Cork will have enough to get over Mayo. I'm going to go Monaghan against Louth, and then I'm actually going to go for the Dubs to be
hard. Hard overhead?
Hard overhead, 100% overhead. I'm getting a bit carried away.
I have no... Thank you. Yeah, that's kind of fair enough, though, isn't it? Especially coming from Dublin today. We wouldn't want to be any other way, would we?
No. You know what? Unusually, most of the country was cheering for Dublin last week.
That's what it was, the underdog factor. And being in... Not to labour the point, but we are in Dublin. Like
we are.
The Hogan stand, Cusick stand, and Hill were all singing, "Come on, you boys in blue." And Molly Malone got a couple of renditions as well. And that hasn't happened, honestly, since pre-COVID.
So. Yeah, my son came home, he was buzzing after it, in a way he hasn't been about the Dubs for years.
Yeah,
that's good stuff.
Yeah, and town was just great, like sunny day, sunny weekend.
So hugely juicy weekend then for the GAA. But of course there is the other little matter of the World Cup, and I suppose our adopted team is probably Scotland, is it? And
I think so, yeah.
They're in the firing line with Brazil tonight.
Can they get a point tonight?
They can. It's going to be a very much backs against the wall job. They're going to be in the heat in Miami. The Scots have been having a great time. They were in Boston and the baseball team went over to Miami, then upset all the Boston people by supporting the Miami baseball team there as well. So they've just been everywhere. People are like, how are the Scots still going? But they're against a really decent Brazil side.
Not the best Brazil side.
Not the best.
We do have a member of the Tartan Army who's just walked in.
Has just walked in, indeed.
They have a squeak, but again, I just don't feel the quality's there versus a Brazil side. They probably have too much for them. But even if they lose at 3 points, it could still be enough to get you through to the knockout
stage. They don't
depends on
lose
how many
by
goals
too
they concede,
much.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but a point would pretty much guarantee it there. So,
before you go, Daniel, how are you enjoying the World Cup so far? How do you rate it so far?
I'd say an 8.5 out of 10.
That high?
I'm really enjoying it.
And is it that the big names are all kind of performing and stuff? Is that what's driving it?
It's a big
it?
Part of it. Like, we always have big names performing in World Cups, don't get me wrong. But in terms of consistently, every single one of them, including Cristiano Ronaldo, who took us time getting there against his
against Uzbekistan. I nearly did that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that thought did cross my mind watching it. But Lionel Messi, to see him play football.
Outrageous.
He's 39 now. I think he's 39 today. Happy birthday, Lionel, if you're listening.
Happy birthday, is that right?
Five goals already.
And he was unplayable in both games. Like, I watched both games. He is the real deal still.
Is he better than 4 years ago? I heard somebody making this argument.
I think he is, yeah. I don't think he's obviously better than his peak at Barcelona, but he made a conscious decision when he left Barcelona to really focus on Argentina for that 2022 World Cup, the last dance, and here we are 4 years later with another last dance.
What
it's incredible.
Did you think of England last night?
Poor. I got a bit carried away with them watching Croatia, thinking, okay, we're in trouble this year now, it's going to be coming home, we'll never hear the end of it. And now it's a case that I can see enough in that performance to go, I think they may get unstuck in a knockout game in a big quarterfinal, semi-final. They'll get there easy.
Not
enough.
Too many teams will play as defensively as Ghana did.
That's
particularly the big nations, you wouldn't think.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a weird one going into a game. Say you're Spain, you won't do that. But if you're someone like the Netherlands and you come up against an England, they'll be happy to sit in and let England box themselves out. I was disappointed with the impact of the subs, given how strong that looks on paper and how good they were against Croatia. So from an England point of view, it was definitely a worrying performance, albeit, look, Spain have had that performance in them already, you know.
Who's your favourite now to win it?
I like a bit of an outsider. I was trying to come up with a shock for ages of what team impresses me. Netherlands have a tough draw, perhaps, in the last 32. If they get through that, I think they could go really close, because people do forget that they were a kick of the ball away in the Euros to get into the final and a kick of the ball away from beating Argentina in 2022.
They were.
And they lost an extra time. So they're my dark horse, but obviously I think Spain maybe, if as a favourite team, are probably the one to beat.
Okay.
Yeah, look, Daniel, thank you so much for coming in to the Grand in Malahide and joining us with all of that.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.